Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle has won.
Panthers defeat the Tigers 22-6. Just a good, if there was ever a Panthers win, this was it. You know, the game is tight for most of it. They just grind and grind and grind and grind. And then eventually the points come. So much so that I think, so when you look at the try scored, so basically they were winning two tries to one until the 63rd minute. So, A, it was a very Panthers-esque win. But B, I think the score does kind of make Tigers look worse than they played. I thought the Tigers really hung in there. They certain areas of the game they can improve, of course. But I thought they showed a lot of fight, the Tigers. I really did.
I thought the Tigers looked good. And I thought, you know, there was obviously a controversial moment in this game. If that would have gone the other way, I reckon the Tigers are a red-hot sniff.
Let's just get straight into that controversial moment.
How did that not go the other way?
What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
How is that not 10 in the bin?
Yeah.
Yep.
And a potential penalty try is not in front of him.
Like, what planet are we on? I just don't get it. Like, I hate to be so harsh on the bunker, but it's like, what are you looking at that I'm not looking at? Have you got, in that was like, hear this, oh, there was another angle. Bro, I saw an angle and I saw his hand hit his leg. Boom. 10 in the bin. Professional foul. I don't get it.
And that's where it's so frustrating. You know, if the referee live doesn't make that call, sure.
That's
but when
fine,
it went upstairs, how do you look at that and come up with any other possible result?
It's 10 in the bin since eternity. Mm. When has that not been 10 in the bin?
Yeah. You tackle to go without the ball. That's essentially what happened.
Yeah, in 30 years of watching footy, I thought like the no try the other week when Edwards was blocked from behind the post for Joey Manu, I thought that was the worst call I'd ever seen. Might have been eclipsed because... Again, if it just went in play and they missed it, so be it. But when it went up to the video ref and it was not seen, I'm like, in what world is that not?
Absolutely bizarre. Like, you can see the guy fall over. So it's not like the thing is, okay, if it was like happened on the edge of the screen or something and you just like weren't looking at that or something, I don't know. It's right there.
What was the score at the time? Did anyone know?
Yeah, I think it was like two tries to one.
It was tight. Yeah.
It was like a close game.
Yeah.
Now, Panthers probably.
It was in the balance.
Odds wise, Panthers probably go on to win. Tigers were robbed of a fair opportunity to beat the Panthers.
And at that point in the game, you said the Tigers were right in it. They're playing great football against 12 men. Why couldn't they have capitalized?
And if they score on that play,
they're
winning.
Yep. They're winning with a one-man advantage. 4-10 to go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. It's some of these other calls where it's, you know, touch and go and you're like, oh, okay, maybe this was the right call. Like, you know, even the it was a terrible call. The Manu Edwards. Yeah. Sorry, Hargreaves Edwards.
Yep.
Where he went through the line. Yeah, Hargreaves Edwards. That one, okay, it's insane. Like, you're being an insane person, but at least there's a backing. Okay, he went through the line. Was he obstructed from running his line? Yes, he kind of was. Okay, that's why he gave the penalty. Please give me your explanation. Like, what were you thinking when you saw his hand touch his leg?
Are we saying it's okay to do that now? So next week, if someone, if there's a 2-on-1 break, we just take one of them
out. You just have to ankle tap him, not
tackle
him.
That's
all
you got to do. That's fine.
Tigers were up 6-0.
They were up 6-0 at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was in the 11th minute, and the Penrith Panthers scored in the 15th minute through Taruva. They then scored in the 26th minute through Taruva again. So it was a big turning point.
And like, you're the Tigers, you're desperate for wins. Yeah. Like, you're desperate for anything you can get.
Exactly. When it's, like, when it's a team like us versus a team like that, everything's got to kind of go your way. If you get stitched up on a few, couple of them, you really no hope. So very disappointing.
What I did like, though, is that that happened, and I'm sure on the field you're going, are you kidding me? But they managed to get it together. They hung in there till the 63rd minute. And then obviously a few tries were scored. But, you know, I thought the Tigers were really gallant. What I liked as well, we'll talk about Tigers first, then we'll get into the Panthers. Like Lachie Galvin against a Panthers side, like this juggernaut, this kind of like Mike Tyson, scary kind of, just when they get on the field, you must, honestly, it must be like the early 2000s or late 90s with the Broncos. It must be like, you know, 2017 with the Storm, where you're just going, how do we do this? Like, how do we do this? There wasn't an ounce of fear in that bloke. Like, he was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just going to rip and tear, and hopefully I can do something.
Liam Martin coming out, either Terminator. And so, nah, he's sweet.
Yeah, all good. 14 tackles, only one miss. And you're telling me he wouldn't have been a spot all week for the Penrith Panthers, going, let's run some traffic at this young fella, see what he's made of. Love that from Lachie Galvin. In regards to other players, it's kind of a negative, but Dream Buller, obviously, he had a lot of effort for sure. Really, and it's actually been quite surprising because, he's in his rookie year, I thought his ball playing was okay, but I feel like he's regressed a little bit with his ball playing. I think he really needs to work on that, like, a lot.
Yeah, threw one or two straight out when there was something on over the sideline.
Yeah, and I've noticed as well for the whole year that his ball playing just hasn't been anywhere near probably what an NRL standard fullback.
It's interesting because the Tigers were so poor last year, and from the minute he came in, he just looked exceptional. This year, the Tigers put up some really brave performances, looking a bit better in attack, and certainly regressed. Whether it's like, you know, you could say that it's a case of, you know, oppositions working him out a little bit in that, but when you're a fullback, you sort of get these opportunities where you don't really get worked out. Like, if you get your 3-on-2s or you get the offload and you get your support play, the opportunity should still come, but it hasn't been bad, but not what we were sort of expecting to come on from year two.
Yeah.
So who's really impressed me, mate, and I reckon he might be one of the better bench forwards in the game, Samuel Ifeanyi.
He's been
I'm the Penrith Panthers looking to poach a front row forward from the Tigers, for the money that it sounds like you have to pay Stefano, I'd be looking at Vino.
Look, let's get into that. Can we please just refrain from saying Stefano's $1 million front row? A lot. Come on. We are the number one fans of Stefano. And look, if he can get that contract, the market demands what the market demands. I'm not sitting here. If he does sign that contract, then that's what he's worth for sure. But like, Stefano is still learning his game. He's still progressing as a forward. He's not worth, obviously, he's worth whatever the market will pay him, but like, from a purely analytical perspective, he's not worth $1 million. Like,
Stefano ran for 75 metres on the weekend.
Like, $1 million. And I get it, his manager's got a job, but in the media, if you're throwing out this stuff, like, sometimes you ask, like, do you watch league? Like, are you watching them play? Stefano is a really talented young forward that's 23 years old or so, that I have no doubts that maybe by the time he's 25, 26, he could be worth that. But right now, if you got him on the open market, you're probably looking at like, what, 600-700K max, in my opinion.
I wouldn't pay seven. Yeah. So I think six is...
Yeah.
Million's outrageous. Like, absolutely outrageous.
Yeah. Six?
Seven if you're a club that needs a big bopper in the front and you're willing to pay...
If you're the Doggies and you're desperate for a middle, maybe seven.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon probably about that as well. I don't think $1 million. He's definitely got a lot of good ingredients and he can be really damaging, but just a few things at the moment. A lot of errors, like, you know, kind of when we get a penalty and get down the end, probably 2 weeks in a row, there's been first hit up, bang, he's just kind of lost the ball. Got to be a little bit better in those sort of areas, I think.
Yeah,
that's the other moment in this game. When they got that penalty, they kicked for touch. He took a fantastic first hit up, broke the line, bent the line, and then just a loose carry. Drop ball, like, I at that point, I thought the Tigers were actually going to get back into this game. And that one just turned it.
And I think, like, to be extremely clear here, you know, media, people that say these headlines, you're not making Stefano's life any easier. You're actually making it way worse, because the problem is, you say Stefano, $1 million, then fans associate with that and they say to him, you're not worth $1 million, like, how dare you? And Stefano's gone, I friggin' never said that. I'm just playing footy, doing my best. Someone else said that about me, because I'm sure he's probably sitting there going, no, I'm still learning my game. Like, I'm still, you know, I'm 23. Like, yes, there are Payne-Hasses, there are Tino, but I'm a 23, 24-year-old front rower that is getting better each year, because he's definitely developing, but there's still parts of his game that he has to develop. So the people that come and say these outrageous things, all you're doing is making this young fella's life way harder, way harder.
And what an unfair week to do it, to bring out whether he's $1 million player or not conversation, the week he goes up against Fish and Leota.
Yeah, it's just unfair on the young fella. Like, it's all well and good. Like, if he's playing really good footy, give him raps, and we do that all the time. We give him raps and that. But, like, to say something so absurd, all it does is make his life harder. And now there are going to be fans out there that are watching him. And if he doesn't play like $1 million worth player, they put shit on him.
Which is what happened on the weekend. But no, like, even Payne Haas in that grand final, he was incredible. But you went through and you read the stat sheet. It was still below what he normally does, simply because these two front rowers are so bloody good.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, I just had to get that in.
You still got a lot of good ingredients there, Stefano. I'm a big fan of him. Good opportunity this week up against your boys, Kempi.
Absolutely. I got no – like, I am – pretty confident Stefano will be one of the better front rowers in the game. Just give the young fella time. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean he can play poorly. I actually think he's had one of his better starts to the year. Obviously, a bit quiet this game. But, again, you're against frigging Penrith Panthers.
They do it to every good forward.
Yeah, every good forward. But outside of that, like, last few weeks, he's been pretty bloody good.
Yep.
Yeah. I said it before, but just keep an eye on this Samuel Fainu off the bench. He is absolutely killing it for the Tigers at the moment.
Yeah. You're talking $1 million, Fainu.
Big call, guru.
Huge call.
Huge call, guru. Now, what I love about Fainu as well is that aggression.
Yeah.
He comes on, he's all elbows, he's all gusto, and he's in your face. And you spoke about it a few weeks ago, but there was a bit of a push and shove in the under-19s New South Wales-Queensland game, and there was one bloke at the front of it, and it was Fainu. And that's what you need off the bench. You need impact. You need energy. And he's delivering that in spades.
But my biggest worry coming away from that 19s was, he's got aggression, but he doesn't know how to control himself.
Mm.
Benji seems to have just tapped it in the perfect spot at the moment.
Yep, absolutely. Also, he played bloody 59, nearly 60 minutes.
Mate, when he's available, he plays huge minutes coming off the bench.
And imagine, like, in a few years as he bulks up, how much more damaging he's going to be.
Another guy who's kind of reined it in a little bit this week compared to a couple of the other weeks was Johnny Bateman. I thought he was at a better game. A
couple of errors, but again, he does what we know Bateman can do, is just like gets involved and makes shit happen.
Yeah.
But they were errors trying to win the game of football.
Yeah. So it's like, I'll cop that, because at least something's happening around Johnny Bateman. Mm-hmm. And you're right, he did rein it in quite a bit in regards to the...
Speaking of not reining it in, what about this Seifert? He is a lunatic.
We talking about
Alex Seifert?
Oh, Seifert. Yeah. I don't know why.
I love it. He's a lunatic.
Again, you need that. You need that aggression off the bench. So look, I don't think it was that bad of a performance from the Tigers. You know, when you look at the Penrith juggernaut, you look at where the Tigers are in development, 22-6 with a really tough call against them. That's not that bad. Mm. It really isn't. Like, let's say we all agree that Penrith Panthers are premiership favourites right now, probably by a substantial margin. If you lose 22-6 after such a tough call, I think you'd probably be happy with that. Like, even without the tough call, you'd probably go, it's all right.
I think it's a great result travelling out there. Keep in mind, they're also fresh off the bye. They're ready to rock. I think it's a huge result.
Now, onto the Panthers. Look, obviously, all the... same old stuff that we say every week about the Panthers. But I will say, I thought To'o's just work out of his own end, like, was absolutely outstanding. I know he does it every single week, but we still got to mention it, because otherwise it's almost disrespectful to him. You know, like, we talk about all these wingers and how well they're playing. To'o comes out and does it each week, and we just go, oh, yeah, that's To'o. But I have to mention it. 21 runs, 229 metres, 82 post-contact, 8 tackle breaks, 4 tackles, 0 misses. You know, I thought he was outstanding. Also, I want to give a shout-out. Tungle's defense, holy shit. 30 tackles, only 2 misses. They're just such a well-balanced side. Like, even when they're not at their best, even when it's not as the scary Penrith that we know, they just stick to the game plan. They find ways to just, like, it's almost like they probe at times. They're just probing, like, where's your weakness at? Where's your weakness at? They identify it mid-game and they just go, boom, there it is. We'll find it and we'll nail it.
When you look at the guys leading the competition for post-contact meters, tell me which one stands out. Tarpanay, Carrigan, Fanua Blake, Brian Tottle.
It's definitely Carrigan. It's definitely Carrigan.
It's Carrigan.
It's incredible that he's there. I can't believe it.
Well,
yeah. But yeah, Tottle, like, yeah, he's one of the greatest wingers ever.
He's like a golfer off screen. He just plays to his handicap every week.
Every week.
He set the tone.
Yeah, you want to hear something even more wild? He's the only one out of that guys that's played 6 games. The rest of them have played 7.
That is actually wild. That is actually wild. Let's talk about Isaiah Yeo. Another guy that plays so well, so consistently. He has a try assist, 18 runs, 159 metres, 48 post-contact, a tackle break, a line break assist, 2 offloads, 47 tackles, only 1 miss. I mean, the numbers this guy puts up every single week. And it's also, it's all high quality. You know, we're not talking about, he's not a stat padder. Like, you never watched an Isaiah Yeo going, man, what a stat padder. Like, he's just taking 2 hit-ups a set just to pad his stats. Like, every time he runs, he usually, it's either the team needs a tough carry or he's got shape around him. He's looked, he said, okay, the shape's not on. Okay, I'm going to try and bend the line. And he bends the line. He is just, he's so well-rounded. He's so consistent. And I tell you what, if you had said to me when he first started in his first couple of years of NRL that this is a player he turned into, I would have said, you have got rocks in your head. You have got rocks in your head. Like, he's a good, solid NRL player that can fill in, do a job in multiple positions. To turn into the player he is now, like a key cog. Like, if, you know, if Nathan Cleary is a 10 out of 10 importance to that side, he honestly might be a 9 out of 10. Like, that's how important he is to that side.
It sounds stupid, but just, like, his understanding of the game and just how he just – he always pulls the right rein. Like, you could play him at halfback. You genuinely could. Mm. Outside of the kicking game, just the way – he never makes a bad decision. He has kicked it for a few years.
How do you?
But, like, he would be so much higher up the halfback rankings than what he should be just because he's just so smart.
It's actually crazy how good he is in regards to – like, he's not his pass selection, his run selection.
Yeah.
It's just mental.
And, like, if you're, you know, we've seen a few over the last few years who have come in to replace Nathan Cleary when he's got injured halfbacks and all these clubs scramble to sign him. Fuck, if I was scrambling to sign one of these halfbacks, I want to see them play without Isaiah Yeo before I sign them.
He's only 29 as well. 226 NRL games. So super durable. But the role he plays, he's got a few left in him. Mm. Jeez.
He's bloody outstanding. To be critical, I actually thought my boy Mitch Kenny, a bit messy this game.
Bit distracted after his Q&A on Instagram.
Yeah, he's Scotty Sorensen Q&A. Yeah, little bit messy this game. Quite a few errors. And I just didn't think he was at his usual, you know, like, he gets through the dog work each week so well you usually don't notice him. But when you're noticing him for, like, errors or penalties or whatever, I didn't think it was his best game on the weekend. If I'm being hypercritical of the Panthers, he wasn't bad by any stretch, but...
Yeah, but you could tell that he wasn't happy with himself either.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't his best game. Definitely wasn't his best game. Outside of that, who stood out for you boys?
Alamotti? Yeah, real handful. Got through the line a couple of times there. He was pretty good. 14 runs, 139 metres, 30 post contact. I thought, yeah, he really asked some questions there. Kind of got through Brent Naden a couple of times. I thought he was good.
Not directly about this game, but just something that I thought was interesting. And it was I watched it, I think, 2 weeks ago. Taylor May put out, like, a vlog or something of what he was doing. Did you see it by any chance?
No, I didn't watch all of it. I watched, like, a little snippet.
He took whoever was filming on the camera, he took him down to a park in Penrith that had, like, all the bars and everything. And he was showing him the workout he was doing, you know, and he'd say, oh, you know, you do 25 of these. And the guy on the camera would go, 25? And he'd go, mate, Isaac Tungo does 40 of them. Then he got to dips and he said, 30 of these or whatever. And he goes, 30? He goes, mate, Tungo does 50 of them.
Really?
Just everything he said was just Isaac Tungo does. And, like, when you look at how strong this guy is.
Oh, mate.
I think that there was some quote in there about how Isaac Tungo in the preseason doesn't really touch weights. He just does all the bars and everything. Stuff, yeah.
There is a lot of science coming out now that, you know, weights are usually for your, like, explosive stuff. But there's a bit of science coming out. You'd rather balance your body out and be strong. Like, for example, Greg Inglis, I think, is a perfect example. Obviously, Greg Inglis is a giant. Like, that's not. But every time that Fenn would come out, he would be perfectly balanced. And so there is a bit of, like, for example, Tom Brady, and I know he wasn't in a contact position, but Tom Brady, if you watch the documentary with the Patriots, they had real issues because his coach, who, you know, there are some dodgy things with his coach, but his coach, like, basically there were a lot of weight stuff that Tom Brady didn't do. It was all kind of body weight. Mm. And then, you know, Gronk, he stopped doing, like, deep squats and stuff like that. And, you know, the Patriots had an issue with that because he wasn't doing it. Anyway, so long story short, there is a bit of science out now coming out that you may not need to lift as heavy as we initially thought, or not necessarily as heavy, but as higher reps as we would like. Put it, the old thinking, or at least the traditional, is like lift as heavy and as much as you can. That's the old school way of thinking. Just get in there and fucking get big and strong. Whereas there is a bit of science to suggest that may not be necessarily the best for rugby league because it is such an 80-minute game that you need to be.
Yeah, and I think it was back in the day, like Desi Hasler and Wayne Pearce swore by that. Two of the fittest guys in rugby league for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I've always been of the mind, like, you don't get me wrong, there's always a place for heavy lifting because you need that extra strength in contact, all that stuff. But I was always of the mind that whatever the frame is kind of made for, don't go that much far past that. Yeah. Like, if it's made for about your 85 kilos-ish and that seems to be the good sweet spot, don't try to add on an extra 5 kilos of muscle because it's just not going to work. Now, speaking of being an absolute unit, if you want to go back and watch a unit, go back to minute 9:30. Papali'i flies out of the line to hit Alamotti and just hits a brick wall. Alamotti finds his front, plays the ball. Mate, he is a brick shit house, Alamotti.
Mate, Alamotti coming through, I was talking about before, like, he was an absolute juggernaut in the juniors. No one could fucking touch him.
Mm.
Comes into Canterbury last year and, you know, we spoke about a lot last year. And if you're just watching there, you go, slow, sluggish. Mm. You know, like, it didn't really impress at any point at Canterbury.
Not last year, didn't
it? Not last year, no. And, like, we had this conversation, and I remember having this with you, and I just kept saying, mate, you should have seen him in the juniors. He was unbelievable. Throws on a Penrith jersey in 1 week and looks $1 million.
Yeah. You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. But even when it happened, I still went, fuck, are you serious?
Yeah.
He could win Dally M Centre of the Year this year at the Panthers, sign with a new club, and I'd be like, oh, let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
Mm. He just is a perfect fit for him. He's a perfect fit for him. What a, I mean, shrewd signing. You get this guy that killed it through the younger grades. For some reason, just seems to be thrown to the, oh, yeah, not good enough. It's like, mate, he's like 19 years old. Mm. He's so much to learn. Goes to the Penny Panthers as his first game. Now, it's obviously needs to play much more than this to see if he is NRL standard, but best game of his career, and it's the first game for the Panthers.
And, you know, now you've got him as the next guy up. Like, the third guy up is Tyrone Peachy. It blew the comp away every time he came in last year.
Yeah. Scary stuff.
Two for me quickly, Kempy, before we move on.
No, we're going to go.
I'll show myself out. Yeah. Dill Edwards, just 3 weeks without Nathan Cleary. He's lifted so much. Not an entirely new role, but, you know, he always sits and plays that sweeping role on the right side, and that's his job there. But with Cleary out, he's taken it upon himself to increase his role in attack. 3 weeks without Cleary, he's had 4 try assists, 3 tries, a couple of contributions on top of that. His kick goals at a good nudge. He's just been terrific, and it just does make me think, like, he's such a good role player at Penrith. I'd like to see him as the main attacking weapon in a spine at another club, you know, where he starts playing a lot more down the left. He sweeps both sides, because I do wonder how good he can be at another club. Not saying he's going to go anywhere, and I don't think he will, because he's perfect for the Penrith Panthers, but he's just been unreal.
Yeah, he's been unreal. And, you know, he's such a similar fullback to Teddy. I think, like, obviously Teddy has a way better career and achieved way more, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not saying he's on Teddy's level. But I do think that if you sat there and said, well, he plays similar to Teddy, so why does Teddy have to take a back seat and Dylan Edwards doesn't? But I think Dylan Edwards picks his, like, it's very clear that Dylan Edwards, when he's told what to do or whatever, not to say that Teddy isn't, but Teddy's the captain. Whereas Dylan Edwards, I feel like he does all the heaps of runs and everything like that. But when the set gets to rolling, he goes exactly where Cleary or whoever tells him to get to.
Yeah, when they're attacking the 20.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like Teddy, his yardage coming out of his end, his kick returns, you know, he'll often take the second or third tackle, just coming out of the end and just getting through those meters. But you're right. When he gets to the 20, he goes, all right, I am the sweeper, running off Nathan Cleary when he's there on the right edge, doesn't spend a lot of time on the left. That's his job, and he nails it perfectly.
Yeah.
And he doesn't overplay at all.
He doesn't overplay. And usually, like, he just gets into the line and he gives a cog in the wheel. And it's very clear that even on the weekend that he's, you know, taking on more responsibility, it's still extremely clear that Schneider is the one that's getting the boys around the park, that Luai is, you know, like the pecking order is extremely clear in regards to that with Edwards.
And that's the other one there that we haven't sort of touched on. But Brad Schneider's just come in 3 weeks, struggled to get a game at the Raiders, but 34 tackles on the weekend. It's not an entirely difficult job, but he's just gone in there like everyone does, next man up mentality at Penrith. He's kicked well enough, defended well enough, got him around the park. He's been good last few weeks.
Yeah, and what I find so impressive is that he's kicked 416 metres. Luai kicked for 397. Like, their ability just to carry the load of Cleary. Like, Cleary obviously usually is the dominant kicker. But their ability to go, okay, Cleary's not here. Now, we can't expect Schneider to just be Cleary. So, Edwards, Luai, we need you to pick up that slack to a degree. Like, Edwards, we need you a bit more hands-on in attack. Luai, we need you to kick a little bit more. Like, just all those little things that go unnoticed. Like, they both had 12 kicks each. Like, that is unbelievably precise on picking up the slack of what... Like, Cleary's, like, number one attacking asset is arguably his kicking game. And they've gone, you know what, we're just going to split it down the middle. We're not going to put too much pressure on either guy and just get the job done. And they absolutely nail it. So, mate, I agree with you. I think Dylan Edwards has been outstanding. I think right now, if you're not going to put Tommy Turbo at fullback, I think he's out and out the front runner. Right now, I'd almost be shocked if he wasn't selected at fullback for New South Wales if you aren't going to put Tommy back there. Thoughts on that, boys?
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Yeah, look, I'd never been an advocate of Edwards for fullback, but Teddy's not playing at the level I sort of want. And we've got enough attack in that team that, you know, I'd have Turbo one. If he's playing centre, then... Probably Dylan Edwards, yeah. Probably.
I mean, who else is playing anywhere near his level
right
now?
It's not Drinky, because I don't think defensively he's there. A bit rocks and diamonds. Like, I know Matty mentioned Gutho could do a job, probably a similar job to Edwards, to be fair, but it's probably Dylan Edwards.
Yeah, I just think Dylan Edwards, the fact that he plays with Cleary is a huge one. Because Cleary was asked, and I think you said this last week, Roo. Maybe Matty Johnson, I don't know, but...
yeah, two peas in a pod.
But basically, Cleary was asked, who's the most important player for you? Like, who helps you the most? He said Dylan Edwards. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Matty that was saying, I was expecting Isaiah Yeo as an answer, but it's Dylan Edwards.
One of the great talkers.
When so, like, you know, we talk about Billy Slater's importance to Cameron Smith and the boys in the Queensland side. Maybe Edwards is that to, you know, to Cleary.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And I'm agree with you. I was actually quite last year. I was very much like, Edwards is just very similar to Teddy. If you're going to play someone, you put Teddy in there. But I think he's gone to a whole new level this year. I think Edwards has been outstanding this year. And also, I think his ball playing is getting better. And I think his pass selection's getting better. His lines are all getting better. I think he's just improving.
Feels like a match guy, Edwards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, he is Origin made. Like, that's the kind of guy that's... suits Origin.
If he comes in and plays, he's at $1 to run for over 250 metres in that game.
Guarantee it. Like, he played a grand final with a broken foot and they won. So, definitely can see him playing Origin if you aren't going to go with Tommy. Hasn't Tommy just been killing it? But we just go, yeah, that's Tom Dravojevic these days.
Like, where does, and if you want to move on, by all means, but where do you think Jerome Luai sits as far as Origin this year?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he's been playing all right footy and he... Yeah.
Because, I mean, if we're all of a sudden going Edwards at fullback, which I'm okay with, going Cleary at 7, 5'8 jersey's up for debate. If you go Isaiah Yeo at 13 as well, like...
Yeah. I see what you're saying, like the logic...
I'm not saying I agree with it. It's just an interesting talking point.
I don't know. For some reason, I just feel like in Origin, it just... Even though he had a great debut series, he really did. Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I'm just not picturing it. Mm. But at the same time, that's almost like, well, hang on a sec. We're talking about a guy that plays a lot with Cleary, has had a...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
pretty good start to the year. But then I think of either Hines or Moses in that 6 years, and I go, oh, maybe they could offer just a little bit more in Origin. I don't know. I don't know. It's a fair point.
Which, like, at the end of the day, realistically, like, I think Jerome Luai's delivered on much bigger stages than the other two.
What do you reckon, Tim?
I don't hate the Luai call, but I think he's been okay this year. Mm. I've actually thought the left edge at the Panthers has been quite stunted in attack and quite clunky. Like, they're scoring 18% of their tries down the left. They're going 59% on the right. I don't think the outside backs there are seeing a lot of quality ball. Like, if they do go with all those Penrith combinations, and let's say Edwards was the fullback, all right, there's an obvious case for it. We have this convo every year, don't we?
Yeah.
But I prefer Hines or Moses.
And also, I think, you know, Luai, who's been pretty solid for me personally this year, like, pretty solid. Hines, I think, has been great this year. Mm. And Moses was outstanding when he was playing. Mm. But it's a fair shout. If you want to go, you know, fully down the route of, okay, we are going to play Penrith footy, clearly get the job done. You know, it wouldn't be too crazy. I think he is the forgotten name. He really is. Like, why isn't he eligible? Like, why isn't he being talked about having that sixth jersey with, you know, Moses being injured, Cody Walker not playing that as well as he could? So, finish out. Finish out.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.